listeners, I'm Kathy Fang with Below the Radar, a knowledge democracy podcast. Below the Radar is recorded on the territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh peoples. On this episode of Below the Radar, our host Amjo Hall is joined by Maroti George, director and curator of Gallery Gachet and curator at the Black Arts Center. Together, they chat about how Maroti became interested in the arts, their experience working in two different art spaces, and their approach to curating in Greater Vancouver. Enjoy the episode.
Hello, welcome to Below the Radar. Delighted that you could join us again this week. We have a special guest, Maroti George. Welcome, Maroti.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me to do this. I'm super excited.
Yeah, I was hoping to get in touch with you and schedule this a while back. You presented as part of Participedia, but I've also seen you around the school and other places as well. Maybe we can start with you introducing yourself a little bit.
Yeah, my name is Maroti. I would say that my day job, which I went to school for, is I'm a curator. I am currently the artistic director at Gallery Gachet, which is a gallery in the downtown east side. Gachet is a very community-centered gallery by its mandate, but we are very much focused on expanding what the idea of community-centered means, especially in relations to the downtown east side. A lot of what I have been doing during my tenure at Gachet is really rooted in the idea of knowledge and like epistemology and like where knowledge emerges and like what we consider knowledge, especially in a city like Vancouver, which has a very theory heavy focus for the arts. So I'm trying to like find the intersections between lived experience and like theoretical slash academic knowledge in a gallery space. But we're also very much focused on like expanding what else we can do as an arts institution situated in the downtown east side. So I am the artistic director of Gachet. I am also the curator at the Black Arts Center in Surrey. And the Black Arts Center is, I would say, Vancouver's first and as of right now only Black youth-led and run artist-run center. We are very much focused on showcasing the works of Black artists in Vancouver and the greater BC area. And also like creating a space where community can be fostered. So the Black Arts Center and like its space too, and alongside its mandate, we're also very much focused on the idea of what else a gallery space slash cultural institution can do. And that's something that we are still exploring. It's funny kind of going between Gachet and Black, Gachet being very much a 35-year-old institution where everything is like set in stone and like Black being very young and new, filled with young, new people, and trying to navigate how we can make things work. So it's kind of nice to have my foot in like both doors.
And such a busy person.
Yeah. And I'm also an educator. I'm taking a break from teaching this fall, but I used to be a teaching assistant at SFU while I was doing my master's. And recently, I was a sessional instructor at Emily Carr teaching art history and criticism. So, yeah.
Yeah, maybe we can start with how did you first get interested in art? Have you were you interested as a young person, as a toddler? Or what was your entry point into the world of art?
I think my relationship with art is very complicated. Mm-hmm. I'm very interested in knowledge. I was a reader when I was young. I'm very interested in languages, and alongside languages, I'm very interested in like translations and like translating things between languages and history. So I found that when I was younger, I was really looking a lot at historical archives, and like I had to do the classics because of school and stuff. But I was also interested in Nigerian, because I'm Nigerian. So I was interested in like Nigerian literature and like the Nigerian archive, which very little of which even in Nigeria is not very accessible. And if it is accessible, it's not very thorough. So I guess at some point in my life, I would say when I was in high school, I kind of began to see the links between like what is being written and like history, the recorded histories of people and like the visual representation of them too. And this was also when I was kind of becoming very interested in the West. I used to travel as a younger person, but I wasn't really aware of like racial dynamics and understanding of what like blackness was around that time because I was in Nigeria with a lot of black people. So I would say that my interest in art kind of began from the connection I saw between like histories and like visual language and material culture, and also just a lack of, and I know people say this a lot, but like a general lack of representation, not just about blackness, but like about like many other bodies of color. And if their representations were in the history books, very little would be said about like what and who they are in the now. So I would say roughly that's how my journey into the arts started. I didn't know you could, I should have known, but I didn't know you could actually study art history in university. And I was lucky enough to go to SFU. SFU is very much the, what do we say we are? The community engaged school, comprehensive.
No, used to anyway.
SFU has like a very diverse everything. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it in an institution. But when I got into SFU, I was studying poli-sci with a minor in history and Italian studies. And I took an art history course as an elective, and I was like, wow, I thought I knew a lot, but I didn't know enough. And my professor at the time, Denise Alexachuk.
Denise was your gateway drug into art.
It's so funny. It was so funny because, and we have kind of built this relationship as like over time while I was there in undergrad and grad school. And I'm like, this woman, does she know that she changed my life? Because I did speak
she
to
her. She will now.
Yeah. I spoke to her and she told me about, what was the name of the program? Art Performance and Cinema Studies program at SFU, which I'm finding isn't like any other art history program in like the ones at UBC and Emily Carr, in the sense that the Arts Performance and Cinema Studies program was very much focused on the now, just like contemporary art, which I do like art history and I like the old stuff, but sometimes I'm like, this is so boring and I want to know what else is happening and like how people are representing themselves. And yeah, that's how I studied art, and I did some internships at the Orr Gallery and the Capilano Review. And I was super lucky to get into Black while I was at the Orr. And in the last semester of my MA program, I got into Gachet. So yeah.
Nice. So let's start with Gallery Gachet. It's got such a unique mandate in terms of alongside the other artist-run centers, we have this strong history in the city. And Gachet's done such important work in terms of opening up the gallery space for many artists who wouldn't otherwise have a space to show. And wondering if you can speak a little bit to that unique mandate and history of Gachet.
Yeah. So Gachet is still a gallery that was very much dedicated to kind of showcasing the art practices of people living with mental health and like living in a society where there are a lot of social stigmas, including like most especially poverty. So at first it was funded by Vancouver Coastal Health. And this is a history that I decided to just dig deeper into because I kind of want to know the institution I am working with and like aligning myself to so seriously. But around some time, I forget what time exactly, Gachet got its funding cut by Vancouver Coastal Health. So before they used to do like the exhibitions were just like exhibitions. They weren't really what Gachet was primarily about. It was more so about providing studio space to artists living with mental health struggles and like artists living in poverty and amongst other things. So after the cut by Vancouver Coastal Health, the Gachet Collective and the staff of Gaché, which notably includes Cecily Nicholson.
Cecily, a Vancouver
icon. And it's kind of weird having a job that she also had at some point in her life. I'm like, oh, wow, this is no pressure at all. But they kind of pivoted how the gallery would, how the space and the organization would function. So as opposed to doing this really big good and providing space and like equipment for artists, marginalized artists in this city, it became an art institution itself. And with that, just to adhere to a lot of the requirements of art granting bodies, we did become very exhibition, like it became a traditional gallery space, but we were still doing the other things that Gaché is known for alongside presenting exhibitions every year. Yeah.
Yeah. And so in walking into an institution which has this rich history, this very special relationship in the downtown East Side community, what's been your approach in terms of, you know, your role coming in as a curator, artistic director? I can't remember the exact title, but in terms of how you approach that work alongside community.
Yeah, I think for me, the first thing I did when I got into Gaché was I just took I'm kind of obsessed with archives. So I spent close to the first 2 weeks of my tenure looking through Gaché's archive and looking at how things used to be done. I did also have a lot of community knowledge because Gaché was also closed for 2 years during the pandemic. Yeah. So when Demi and I got into Gaché, we actually had to kind of build everything from the ground up. Demi is Gaché's executive director, such an amazing human being. So Demi was dealing with how to at least keep the lights on in the gallery. And I was dealing with like the artistic stuff as artistic director. So I was looking at how the gallery used to do things. And even though I found a lot of amazing stuff, I also did find like a lot of stuff that I viewed as outdated. And I got opinions from other people and they were like, this is outdated. And I was also thinking about how Gaché is situating itself as an organization in the downtown East Side. A lot of people, validly so, believe that. And Gaché is also like in the heart of the downtown East Side. We're not like inside Gas Town or like inside Chinatown, we're right on Hastings. So a lot of people believe that like, oh, because of what is going on in the downtown East Side, all of the buildings there should be dedicated to social services. And I, as much as I agree to some extent, I believe that the people in the downtown East Side also need a space to actually nourish their creative spirits. And like, there is a lot of community culture and like, culture is an important part of any community. So there needs to be a cultural space in the downtown East Side. So while I was looking at all of that kind of stuff, I was thinking about Gaché's programming and how, to some extent, people living in the downtown East Side do not only want to hear about what it's like living in the downtown East Side. And part of the reason why I came to that decision was also thinking about how Gaché used to run in the past and like the things that used to be done in the past. And I don't feel great saying my predecessor's shortcomings, but there was not a lot of representation. They were not really looking at nuances. And while I was thinking about like marginalized artists and social stigma, I was thinking a lot about the nuances and how a lot of these things are like political after effects of colonization, anti-blackness, the genocide of indigenous peoples in Canada, which also has an effect in the downtown East Side. So I was thinking a lot about how we can work with artists and like showcase the works of artists in our exhibitions, which address this. And some of these artists who address this happen to be academic artists, like artists who know how art industries work. I feel like there is space for them at Gaché, but there is also space for like artists who do not have this experience, like artists who just want to show their work to people. So that's kind of the fine line I'm trying to draw alongside the Gaché team, that like we have space for both of these artists in our exhibition space and like in our programming year. But we're also thinking about very specific community engagements, we're working with the Washington Square Markets, for example, which I think is close by here, kind of like across the street. And we're showing the works of, and also paying the artist. We're kind of showing their works in the market and like having the works for sale. And we're doing stuff like the Oppenheimer Park show, which is a show that has existed at Gachet for a long time. It happens at Oppenheimer Park and people in the community make art and we put their works on the wall. And one thing that I think is the best thing that Gachet does is kind of our expressive arts program. So every Monday we have two facilitators in the space and people just come in and make art. And it's really lovely. I don't work on Mondays, but like most of the time I just go to hang out with people. It's a very interesting thing to kind of witness in the sense that there are people who would always come and there are people who would just drop in who live in the community and be like, oh, I felt like I wanted to paint today. So they would just paint. So I think that that's just with regards to our specific programming, that's how I'm thinking about being community centered. But there is like so much more that we can do. And I'm finding a lot of the time, I'm finding mostly actually that being in our bubble and like saying, oh, we are Gachet and like we have a history, so we know what's right. It doesn't really work. And a lot of what I've been trying to do during my tenure and with the help of Demi is to kind of open the space up because there is a rich and long history of organizing in the downtown East Side. And so many people with knowledge that they, if they are not asked, they wouldn't let people know. So kind of trying to reach out to people and like bring people in to like figure out how we can do better, at least while I'm there. And like hopefully the next person that comes after me would have an idea of what happened during my tenure and during Demi's tenure and how they can also contribute something worthwhile to the gallery's history. So yeah.
Yeah, it's in your words really resonate with me in terms of the role of arts and culture in the Downtown East Side neighborhood. Look at the Heart of the City Festival every year and just, you know, being based at an art school where many people from the neighborhood come in and go to the gallery. When I was involved with my friend Allison Dunnett in starting Humanities 101 at UBC, which, you know, takes back to like 1998, when we went around to meet with nonprofit groups, are like, oh, you want to study like philosophy and art? Like this is, I don't know if it's going to work here in the neighborhood. When we did meetings with people who lived in the neighborhood at the Carnegie Center, many of whom were going to the library and reading books all day, people were like, yeah, we totally want to do it. And they had specific suggestions on what they wanted to study and all those kinds of things. And so and we got free tickets to go to the Vancouver Art Gallery at that time. It was the Masks of the Northwest Coast exhibit was on. We actually got free tickets to go to the opera to see Tosca. We had the director of the opera come in and give the whole background. And so our students knew more about the opera than probably most people in that audience and were able to go see it. And so I think once we try to reduce at least some of the barriers that are possible to reduce and people have the opportunity to engage, that people are going to enjoy it in a way that anybody else would enjoy it. And so I do think I agree with you in terms of those kinds of opportunities, particularly in arts and culture. There's a rich history here in this neighborhood. You had mentioned that Gachet is doing the Oppenheimer show and also some publications that contextualize Downtown East Side and cultural production. I'm wondering if you could speak to that a little bit.
Yeah. So the Oppenheimer show is, like I said before, it's something that is a long part of Gachet's history. And 3 years ago, before my tenure, there was a publication that was put out about the show. And it kind of, it showed the artworks made by the artist in the community in the show. And then it also kind of talked about, because I think this was during COVID, like displacement and like just when everything in Crab Park was happening. So the publication really addressed that. And for this publication, I'm really thinking about what has happened 3 years past that first publication. Kind of, I'm thinking about the continuum in regards to that. And even though the artwork is going to be there, I'm also thinking about what's this artwork and like the fact that these were made by bodies in the Downtown East Side, what's that actually represents. So I'm thinking thematically about like the current state of the downtown East Side and thinking about commemoration in the sense that even though the downtown East Side is a place where a lot of great stuff happens, I think that it actually works against what a lot of people are trying to do to not talk about the other not so great stuff that happens in the downtown East Side. I think that we shouldn't romanticize anything. Like, just things don't have to be perfect for them to actually get help by the state or like be viewed as places with people and people that have agency. So I'm thinking about how a lot of the systems of power and the things that occur in spaces and institutions outside of the downtown East Side, misogyny and homophobia and just racism, also find its way into the downtown East Side and like within the community. And I'm thinking especially about how that kind of shapes slash affects the communal knowledge of the downtown East Side and the people who produce things that aren't given their flowers. So I'm thinking about that with regards to commemoration and like this publication by inviting some Indigenous women, one of them being the lady who carved the totem pole at Pigeon Park, to kind of speak a bit to who they are, like what their embodiment means in relation to this country's history, in relation to their actual like positionality in the downtown East Side. So that's going to be one section of the publication. Hopefully, I'm meeting with the designer next week, so hopefully it's not going to be too hefty, but even if, I think it's something good for the archive. But I'm also working with a lot of organizers in the downtown East Side. We're planning on working with Pivot and Defund 604 and Van Du and Yarrow, especially Yarrow, because I think the relationship between Chinatown and the downtown East Side has been very conflicted and complicated. And I think that the work that Yarrow is doing is very important. So I'm also thinking about like the state of organizing in the downtown East Side and what it means to do good work or like just do work in general in the downtown East Side. And all of that is going to be framed in relation to just the precarious events that have happened with regards to the street sweeps. And that is going to be represented by, I don't know if you know him, Ryan. I feel bad for forgetting his last name, but I met him this Monday and he made the Stop the Sweeps documentary. So we're going to have some images from the documentary in the publication with some writing about community and like just what that movie slash documentary actually intends to do. So yeah, it's a very hefty, ambitious project. And knowing that as I speak to more and more people, I genuinely believe that it's going to turn out perfect, good at least. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've partnered on some programming with Yarrow Intergenerational Society over the years. They're wonderful to work with. This episode won't come out till February or March of 2024. I wonder if there's any future programming you wanted to kind of highlight or what you have in motion, possibly?
Yeah, what I have in motion? I'm going to have a show about canoes and Agache. It's a very interesting show. One of the artists is Indigenous and one of them is Filipino, so we're thinking a lot about like canoes and embodied knowledge and just like material culture. I'm still working on that show thematically in my head, so I just know that there are going to be canoes in the Gache space. And another thing that we're working on that I'm very excited about is an archive show that I am co-curating with the Van Du team to kind of celebrate their 25-year history. And I think that generally the art world in Vancouver, and this is not something I'm ashamed of, like archives are having a moment. And I am kind of interested in looking at the politics of the Van Du archive. Van Du is a very important organization, but it also has a complicated history. And I'm not trying to present one perspective in this Van Du archive exhibition. So that's would also be open in February. And then we're closed for 2 months for renovation.
Yeah. Van Du is such an important organization in the neighborhood. I remember going to a meeting and once again, like around 97 or 98. And it was, you know, Bud Osborne and Livingston lots of folks, Dean Wilson and others, people making sandwiches. They were at the corner of Powell and Jackson, I think, above the living room drop-in center at the time. And living room doesn't exist anymore, I don't think. But it was up the stairs, and the meetings would happen on Saturday mornings. But just, you know, in the middle of an overdose crisis at that time, and, you know, just like we have the drug poisoning crisis right now. But they did such important work, an unfunded organization for many years. Vancouver Coastal Health did not provide funding at all. It was a massive fight to be recognized in that sense as well. I'm wondering if we can speak a little bit to the wonderful new institution, the Black Arts Center. I was at the opening a couple months back, and it was just bursting with people. It was people were so excited and so happy. It's right by Surrey Central SkyTrain station. It's almost like you need a bigger space already.
Yes. I actually, for some reason, hopefully as my career continues to grow, I would be in charge of a bigger gallery space. But as of right now, I love small gallery spaces. And thank you for coming for that opening. But yeah, the Black Arts Center, it's me and five people: Rebecca Bear, Hafiza Kinlusi, Vanessa Fajemessine, and Arshi Chada. And we're all young Black people. I don't want to take credit for the Black Arts Center's emergence, but it was founded by Becky Bear and kind of created out of this lack of a space for Black people to showcase their works. And aside from that, like a space for like Black people to just be. And this kind of came out of the horrific events of 2020 and just what she noticed as like literally even having to go outside and be like, just look at things, people being like, oh my God, I'm so sorry about everything, which is a good thing. Like, thank you to the people who felt like that. But like sometimes it is important for Black people to have a space where they are not feeling like patronized or like not feeling hyper visible. So the space is meant to be a safe space for Blackness, and a gallery space second, like a safe space for Blackness first and a gallery space second. And we're not even thinking of ourselves as a gallery space. We don't call ourselves the Black Art Gallery. It's a center. So we're really thinking a lot about the multifaceted nature of Blackness and the different ways that that affects like Black community building, and not affects, but like is represented in Black community building and also Black cultural production. So we're really hoping that we can make space for like all sorts of art made by Black artists, arts relating to Blackness, to be featured in the space. We will have exhibitions, but we're very much thinking about like workshops and events and all of that stuff. And our first exhibition, I don't know, wait, this is not a bad thing to say, I think this is a great thing. The first exhibition that would be in the space, we actually got the funding for it this morning. So yeah, we did have an exhibition at the Surrey Art Gallery, but it is nice to...
Yeah, I went to that too.
Yeah. But it's nice to have an actual exhibition in our own space, and that would be open in October, and it's going to run till February.
Oh, great. I wanted to, you're of course finished your master's at SFU, and wondering if you can speak a little bit to your graduate work and what you were doing there.
Yeah, so I would say grad school for me, I think a lot of people have a very interesting relationship with graduate school. I thought I didn't have an interesting relationship with graduate school, but sometimes I think about how I was locked up in my office and my room and not going anywhere. But I think I wouldn't have gone anywhere else for grad school except for the School for Contemporary Arts, now that I have been through the school. So naturally, my friends call me like academically voyeuristic, in the sense that I find myself very interested in a lot of things. But the core of my research interest is Blackness. I am very much interested in conceptualizing Blackness and like looking at Black history and like figuring out how to best speak to the contemporary state of Blackness through my writing and through my art historical research. So despite everything I was looking at in grad school, my thesis was specifically focused on Black masculinity. And at first I was worried because I was, what's the word? It's always interesting doing something, doing research that's very closely tied to your embodiments, especially with something like Blackness. Something I'm always trying to kind of highlight slash underline in my practice is I am just one man. I am one man who looked at a couple of sources and this is what I am bringing forward. But there are so many other perspectives that can be brought into this. But I was looking at representations of Black men in Western visual culture from the Enlightenment slash the end of the French Revolution till now. And I was thinking about like the spectrum of representation that at one end of the spectrum posed Black men as like hyper-masculine, like gods, and like on the other end of the spectrum, posing Black men as like victims of circumstance and like martyrs to like a greater cause to some extent, the greater cause being in the service of whiteness. And it was very, I feel like I did such heavy research for that work that I still have a hard time unpacking it after everything has happened, but it was very eye-opening for me. I looked at some paintings that I think that experience also taught me not to take everything at surface level. I looked at some paintings of Black men from like the 18th century, and like some Black people would be like, wow, they were painting us in the 18th century, but like, no, you need to look at how they were painting us. It's not really like, wow, this is a good thing. It's important to read what the image is trying to say about you and like your embodiment and like just how it fits into an overarching narrative from elsewhere that's trying to like subvert your state of being. So I think that's one thing I have learned from that project in general. I think that like representation is not enough. I think that sometimes there are a lot of burdens and like not really good stuff that comes with being represented and like being a body in a space that has excluded your body and your people for a long time. And sometimes it's actually best to reject representation and like, unless it's on your terms, like this is who I am and this is what I speak to. So I think this is something that would be an ongoing part of my practice. For a while, I do plan on getting a PhD at some point in my life, but as of now, I really enjoy being a curator and not being super stressed out.
That sounds great. I'm wondering, in terms of Nigeria, of course, has a very rich contemporary art scene, lots of artists making work and circulating globally. I'm wondering if you could speak a little bit to some of the artists you're interested in from Nigeria.
Yeah, I would say Nigeria does have a very rich contemporary arts culture right now. It's actually like beautiful to see. And I have like a lot of FOMO being here sometimes because My mom is actually trying to convince me to come back for like a year for this project and this one project that she found out about. And I'm like, I can't do that. I'm so sorry. Not right now. But one of my favorite artists in Nigeria right now is actually not a visual artist. I mean, they do have a visual art practice, but I am most interested in their writing. Their name is Akweke Emezi. They are doing such great things, and they kind of write about metaphysical like embodiments and like just what it means to be a body in relation to this world and like being a Nigerian body, for example. So I really like how they kind of explore like spirituality and Blackness from this perspective that I haven't really seen before until I encountered their works. They're very sure of themselves. They don't talk about like pain and pain, which is sometimes very much tied to like Nigerianness, because Nigeria, like most other countries, I believe, is difficult. But like they talk about their pain as something that they are not fetishizing it, but something that was necessary for them to be who they are today. And I just really like how they approach topics of queerness. It's like topics of just being a body in like a very nuanced and important way that I think a lot of people, not just Nigerian people, should actually read their work. I just finished reading their memoir, Dear Santhoran, but their first book, Freshwater, is also very, very amazing. Another one of my favorite artists of Nigerian descent, who is actually an artist, is Abdul Wasil Salimat, who I was so privileged and like blessed enough to show at Gashe earlier this year, in the show I curated, Dialectics of Fugitivity, and they're a photographer. And when I was speaking to her about how I want to like frame her work in relation to my research, we were thinking a lot about just what it means to be Nigerian, because if we think about it completely, Nigeria in itself is a colonial construct. Mm-hmm. And we talk a lot about culture. Like Nigerian parents are always like, oh, you need to respect your elders because it's our culture, which is true. But like, what is our culture? Really? Like, what is our culture removed from the white gaze and like the colonial imagination? So I really love her images because they're kind of the images I showed. And I think this also makes its way into various aspects of her practice. But her images are very much suspended in time. They kind of have this archival feeling in the sense that you don't really know if this image is meant to represent, if her images are meant to represent like a moment pre-contact or like post, like an Afrofuturist future / imagination of Nigeria. And I just really enjoy how she works with like the Black female body, which is a body that has suffered a lot from like just the effects of like whiteness and its histories of Blackness. So yeah, I would say those are, I can talk about this for a long time, but another good Nigerian artist that I also had the opportunity to work with. I genuinely do feel very blessed because sometimes I'm like, I'm a young curator. Do you want to work with me, please? And most of the time, people, I am yet to, knock on wood, I'm yet to have someone be like, no. But one artist that I did enjoy working with, who is also Nigerian, but based in Toronto, is Oluseye Ogunlesi. And I showed him at the Surrey Art Gallery show. His practice, I find that a lot of Nigerians are like multidisciplinary in their practices, but the aspect of his practice that I really found enthralling is his sculptural, sculpture works. The works I showed were from the Eminado series, and he travels a lot. So he collects like different objects and debris from his travels across the Atlantic. And he calls them diasporic debris. And when he puts them together in a sculpture, they're meant to like pay homage to the bodies and like the goods and the knowledge that were lost by Black people in their transport, like as they were being transported and enslaved from like Africa to like the West. So yeah, I would say that was very broad.
Yeah. You know, you clearly bring institutional critique into your practice. And I'm wondering if you can speak a little bit to sort of challenges and opportunities around that.
I think I would start with challenges. I think institutional critique is very important. I think that a lot of people generally have a very weird relationship with being criticized. And for me, I sometimes actually beg to be criticized. That like some of my friends, I would show them my writing and I'm like, you have to give 4 things that you didn't like about this essay. And they're like, what's wrong with you? But I genuinely feel like that's how we grow and like how we do better. And like institutional critique, I feel like just at where we are at in the culture, I think that a lot of people forget that like institutions, no matter how big or small, are made up of bodies. And because they are made up of bodies, they have their own biases. but at the same time, they know what's right and what's wrong. So I think that like it's important to, especially like in the arts, I always like worry when we're thinking so out of the box with regards to our practices, but this is not really finding its way into like how we are running as an organization, how we do things. Like, I think that it's very important to speak truth to power. Like, we can't just say, oh, I'm reading this. Oh, I'm reading that. And my work covers this. And then turn around and like be exclusionary and gatekeep and like look at the world through one certain like point of view. And I think that this is very important to me with regards to like accessibility and like who is let into the space. And also like power dynamics, because Vancouver has a very long and like rich history of art exhibiting, cultural production. And like a lot of people do come here for the opportunity to do that. But there is kind of a weird dynamic with regards to how many art galleries and curators exist in Vancouver versus how many artists exist in Vancouver. And that disparity inevitably that creates like a lot of weird power relationships. And I find that a lot of the times galleries in Vancouver are not doing enough. And this is something that at Gachet, we are always thinking like, how can we do better? How can we do better? And at some point I actually had to say during a meeting, like, we actually need to, it's good that we're asking ourselves these questions, but like we are genuinely doing the best we can. Like, we just need to like kind of build our capacity to do more. But like, I think that we have a good head on our shoulders right now. And sometimes I wish that other galleries kind of, especially bigger ones, kind of had this drive to do better, kind of had this drive to not show the works of one specific type of artist all the time and like actually open up their space. And this is something that I am also, a friend of mine actually asked me why I haven't gotten any guest curators into Gachet yet. And I thought about it and I was like, wow, I would work with different artists, but why wouldn't I work with other guest curators? So it was actually good to receive that kind of feedback, because now I do understand I need to work with guest curators. It doesn't have to be just my vision in this space. And I think that that's like something very important. Sometimes for like change to come, it's actually very important to step back and like let new people do something, even if it's just for like a short time. So yeah, I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Is there anything you'd like to add?
Stop by Gachet or stop by Black or follow us on Instagram.
Yeah, we'll link to all those in the show notes.
Yeah, but thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us on Below the Radar and amazing work that you're doing at both institutions and your curatorial practice. Look forward to coming into the spaces and seeing more shows.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
Below the Radar is a Knowledge Democracy podcast created by SFU's Van City Office of Community Engagement. Thanks for listening to our conversation with Maroti George. You can find out more about their work at Gallery Gachet and the Black Art Center in the show notes below. If you'd like to support our podcast, you can donate at the link in the description below. Your generous donation will help support the podcast's activities and associated public events with SFU's Van City Office of Community Engagement. Thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Below the Radar.